Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, AMA, as we do every single, Wednesday, except for yesterday, because we were busy, so we moved it to today. So welcome to AMA. If you haven't heard us on a Wednesday morning at 7 before, you probably have, but we do this every single week, where you ask questions, or at least someone does, and we answer them. By the way, let me welcome Mr. Ben Davis to the studio as we get ready for Red October. Good morning, Benjamin.
Top of the morning to you.
And all of the rest to the Philadelphia Phillies. Well, not all.
Damn right.
Because some of it for the Eagles
But
well.
Mostly the Phillies now.
Right now.
We'll get back to the Eagles, yeah.
We'll get back there. James, we love having Ben in studio.
Ben Davis, in studio, brought to you by CJ's Tire and Auto. 18 convenient locations. We keep things moving. CJTire.com.
James, what do people want to know today?
All right, let's start out with the fun one. Speaking of Red October, what is your favorite thing about Red October?
Well, look, we could mention moments in games when things happen and we all go bonkers, particularly the home games. But
that might be another question, so maybe don't mention that.
Oh, really? Okay. I'll say this, because I actually think this might even be above that. It's hard to beat, like, how do you beat the big moments? But I'll say this. The communal atmosphere in the air, all around town, people wearing their sweatshirts, their hats, their T-shirts, their jerseys, and just the head nods, the smiles, you know, just the great vibes when the Phillies are rolling in October. I remember walking in to one of those playoff games. I think this one was 23. It might have been 22. I just had so much positive feeling walking in there. We were all in a good mood. It's like the permanent good mood when they're going good. I guess would be my answer. John, what do you think?
The word.
By the way, that permanent thing doesn't always last permanent. Just, you know.
Yeah, we know.
While it lasts, it's very good.
The word for all that is the camaraderie.
Yeah.
The feel. That's what I love most about Red October. The camaraderie. The, you know, I'm at the bank depositing at the ATM, and it's knowing, you know, the guy behind me, we all have the same goal. We'll all be watching, and we know, man, we're kind of a little fearful that this Dodgers team's, man, they're so stacked. They're so stacked, but then so are we. We've all weighed this. We've all thought about this over and over. We've all talked about these matchups with our families. It's great to know the guy across the street has the same beliefs about this team that you do in most cases.
Yeah, I agree. James, still a few more.
All right. This one is from Fire Petullo on Twitter. He says, for Joe, how's the leg doing? Any updates? Good point. We have not really gotten an update on the ankle recently.
So it's an ankle, not a leg. I mean, I guess that's part of the leg. I don't know. It's doing well. It's coming along. I may get out of the boot in the next. I will likely get out of the boot in the next 1 to 5 days. So where I was as of Monday was recommended to be out of the boot at home, tested out at home, and so far so good. And so the next step will probably be out of the boot when out of home. So we're trending in the right direction.
Pritz is shaking hearing this.
Yeah, we're doing good.
This one, as alluded to before.
I mean, I will say there's still issues in there. It's going to take time. Mm-hmm. Trending in the right direction.
All right, as alluded to before, outside of winning the World Series, do you have a favorite Phillies playoff moment from your life?
Oh, that's easy. That's Mitch striking out Bill Pecota. That's as easy as it gets. That's the Phillies winning. I mean, Ben, how bonkers was that when the Phillies beat the Braves in Game 6?
It was nuts.
It was nuts. Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my gosh, we're actually going to the World Series.
Exactly.
Like, we're going to the World Series.
And, Ben, you and I were a great age. So, what, were you a sophomore in high school?
I was a sophomore, yeah.
Oh, what an age to be.
Yeah.
What an age to be.
That was my team, man. That was my team.
Me too. And you have become very good friends with many of them. I've become friends with some of them. I mean, it's special when you...
And I really miss one of them.
So when you were...
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
When you were celebrating those moments at that time, what were you doing? Jumping up and down? Were you screaming? Were you punching something? Joe, were you crying?
I remember... I don't think I cried on that one. I do know this. I had a cousin from Boston down who's not a huge sports fan. And I don't see her much at all. And I think she thought I was a lunatic because she happened to be the one day she was in town and staying with us, staying with my mom and me, was Game 6 of 93 versus the Braves. And I think she thought I was literally insane.
But she still
fell in love with you all those years later. Still went to your prom. What a miracle. Nicely done, John.
Wrong cousin, but fair enough. Pretty funny by John. Made a funny, ladies and gentlemen. All right. So
you got
one more question.
Sure.
Joe, yeah, two more, whatever you got.
This one's for you. It's from Jersey Joe. What? Question for Joe. With the Phils having a legit chance to win the World Series and the Eagles repeating as Super Bowl champs, is the Best of Philly Sports Part 2 on the horizon?
Well, someday, hopefully, but I don't think it'll be like, you know, early portion of 2026. I'd love it to be, but I don't think that's the way it typically works. So my guess is sometime in the 2030s will be the Best of Philly Sports Part 2. But, and it puts me in a conundrum. I want the Phils to win, but I also don't want my book to be outdated, you know, immediately.
That's not a conundrum.
No, well, it's not.
That's not selfish at all, AJ.
Hey!
He wants his.
Yeah. I want mine. Look, everyone buy my book as fast as you can before it's outdated. It's called The Best of Philly Sports, and it's available at Amazon.com. Help a brother out. Get it before it's outdated.
Ray Didinger keeps updating the Eagles encyclopedia.
Yeah, and it takes him like 8 years to do the next one. So give me a couple months, please. Thank you. And with that, AMA, we shut it down. Help me out! All right, let's talk to Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, good morning, pal.
Good morning. How are we today?
Doing great.
Excited and nervous.
Joe, wait, you were just talking about, was that your sophomore year?
That was when they were in the playoffs was my sophomore year. Earlier in the regular season was my freshman year.
So what, your cousin came down for your
Enough! In my sop hop, yeah.
Was that,
Dan, can I ask you a question?
No, we got to move on.
Danny!
That's pretty good.
That's probably going to be the drop of the week, too.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. As for your uniform, like, it's bad luck and a bad look. So as long as it's a bad look, I want you to wear it, but it's clearly not working to bring the luck, so... Unfortunately, I think you have to retire for the playoffs.
I'm leaning in that direction. I'm not into permanent retirement, but I'm into a one-year hiatus and see if it works without it.
Yeah, just to see how it goes.
Especially because then we could blame you for the last 3 years if they win it this year. Be like, we would have won four in a row.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll just sit that on your conscience. Does anybody have any concerns about Schwarber going into the playoffs? He just seems a little cold lately.
A little bit. Yeah, the four home run game, which I guess was about 2 weeks ago, maybe three, felt like kind of a standalone in September. Like, he didn't do a ton.
Yeah, the two homers in the eight-homer game, too, yeah.
But he didn't do a ton in September.
So, if he's cold, you know, that's a big problem for us. But I'm hoping he heats it back up. I hope Harper turns it up, maybe in replacement of it, but...
Harper, by the way, homered in the intra-squad game last night, shot to dead center.
Yep.
And a single. So, you know, hopefully he has a turn. I can't believe Philly's lost to them bums last night. Like, I just can't believe. Yeah, yeah. And AJ, what's this other tweet that he put out that he took down?
All right, so let me get to this, Dan. I gotta get the sequence right. Matter of fact, Dan, I want to do that next segment, and I want to lay out what Seth Joyner said, then AJ. I want to line that whole thing up. So
real quick to that, I didn't read it, but there was a guy on John Johnson's show that said he has like a master's in
forensics.
I don't know.
Yeah, I heard
deciphering
that.
type of stuff. Right. And he said it's 100% was an original tweet or whatever he said.
Yeah, I mean, AJ had something up and then it was taken down about 10 minutes later. And so yeah. I'm sure there's going to be someone that claims it wasn't real. All right, enough. All right, come on.
Yeah,
but he had something out there. He took it down. We're gonna get to it all, Dan, next segment, because I got the Seth audio, and yeah, I want to play it. That first. Give me an actress with two roles.
Talia Shire in The Godfather and Rocky.
That's a pretty big answer right there.
It's a massive.
Yeah.
I do have a winning answer, by the way.
Like, that you think is almost unbeatable?
I do.
Okay. Well, and it's not Talia Shire.
No, that is a great one, though.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. It's a good one. 215-592-9494. Coming up, that's Seth Joyner. A.J. Brown thing that Dan was just alluding to. We're getting to that next. Plus, more of Rob Thompson, what he said to us yesterday on a couple of issues, the rotation, the lineup, and more. That's up ahead. Jason Kelce at 7:30. Ben's assessment of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who we now know the Phillies will be playing starting in 2 days at Citizens Bank Park. Your thoughts on all of it. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
Every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, because FanDuel, with FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. Just go to FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to get in on this Thursday's action. All you have to do is place an anytime touchdown scorer bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last TD of the game, you'll win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP.
All right, we are getting ready for the playoffs, which we now know from a Philly standpoint. Will be the Phillies and those frickin' L.A. Dodgers. They get at it again. This will be the fourth era of the Phils and Dodgers. They did it in 50. They did it an awful lot in the late 70s and early 80s. They did it a couple times with the Chase, Ryan, Jimmy, and Cole group. Phillies won both of them, 08
and
09.
What did Jimmy do in that series? Oh, he walked him off.
Yeah, the Broxton hit.
Yes.
Yeah. And here we go again, Phils and Dodgers. So it's exciting. It's kind of nerve-wracking. There's no question. I mean, for me, it's very nerve-wracking. I mean, Dodgers are...
Don't be afraid.
I'm going to lend you Chaney. He's a pit bull.
Well, thank you. Thank
All right?
You.
He'll teach you not to be scared.
If you do not know, the Dodgers have actually, after beating the Reds and doing so in the fashion that they did, have moved in front of the Phillies for the odds, not only for this series, but to win the World Series. They are the team with the two teams with the two best odds, but, you know, clearly the odds makers are saying, you know,
we're
the Dodgers
home.
Are legit. All right.
We're at home. We can beat this
yeah,
team.
Yeah, I get it.
We beat them 4 of the 6 times we played them this year.
Yeah.
We match up nicely.
Can I be one? Can we just do one Debbie Downer, and then I got to introduce a special guest.
Don't be afraid.
Here we go. Just know this, John. Phillies had home field advantage against the Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Phillies had home field advantage against the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Just who was their closer against the Diamondbacks again?
I don't know.
Those experiences.
I don't know who it was.
That's my point.
Right, I get you.
Those experiences prepared them to better face adversity this time around. And now with the Durantula.
Is that kind of like how your Raiders teams after losing the playoffs were going to win? Yes, you're not nervous
at all.
Or your Eagles teams after losing the playoffs are going to win?
Well,
tough guy? Is that the deal?
Of course there's the possibility.
Yes! The Dodgers are good! That's all we're saying!
We are better. They're
all right.
Good. We are better.
You dropped a tough guy
on you. Well, he kind of is, actually. So we'll take your thoughts on the Phils and Dodgers. It's exciting. It is nerve-wracking. And away we go in 2 days. And by the way, if you don't know, Sanchez versus Ohtani. The Dodgers announced after the game last night that it will be Shohei Ohtani in Game 1 at Citizens Bank Park.
It's amazing.
All right. It is.
It's amazing.
It's awesome. Let's welcome in to talk about the Phils, to talk about the Eagles. Been a lot swirling around this week. And always a great day to talk to Jason Kelce. Jason, how are you, bud?
Doing great. Good time in Philadelphia sports right now, baby.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It is something, man. So, I mean, where to start? A.J. Brown. That's where to start.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to get to this Seth Joyner stuff from yesterday, Seth and A.J. and social media. But let's just go back to, you know, Jason, your assessment of what happened on Sunday after the game. A.J., and we're going to play audio of things he said yesterday. What do you make of the situation? Obviously, it's complicated. What do you make of it?
Well, I think it's a guy that really wants to be a productive, meaningful part of the offense. I think that he knows what he can do, and I think that everybody in that building knows what he can do. And I think it's, you know, we've seen semblances of this in the past, obviously last year, and, you know, the offense isn't functioning well right now, right? It's hit or miss. We've had halves where we put it together last week, the first half, against the Rams, dominating second half, and really the only reason we won that game. Start the game year against Dallas, but you know, we've played some really good defenses, and the offense in particular, Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown, haven't been meaningful parts of it. And it's a guy that is, you know, obviously I wish he probably would have done it in a different way.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's probably the issue that a lot of people have, but you know, having known A.J. Brown, the great teammate that he is, you know, I love the guy. I think that his intentions, while, you know, not the best avenue to release them, are good natured. I've always loved playing with him. And I think that the Eagles should find a way to involve A.J. Brown. I mean, he's an incredible talent. Everyone in that building should be upset that this is not going that way. So that's my overall thought.
It's so strange to be 4-0 and have this many offenses on one side of the ball, this many issues on one side of the ball. I mean, because you would think if, like, last year when the passing game would struggle, the running game was phenomenal.
The running game really for, I mean, since A.J. or since Jalen's been there has been unreal. And a lot of that is because of the threat that he offers, and the offensive line has been very good, and the scheme has been great. And for that to be struggling right now is probably the thing that's the most odd watching this, because that's something that really just hasn't been an issue in Philadelphia for a long time.
Sure.
But I think, you know, we're 4-0. I've seen a lot of people like, you know, Jalen needs to throw it up more, right? Like, he's risk averse. He needs to be pushing the ball down the field and taking chances. Like, dude, we're only 4-0 right now because we're winning the turnover differential. Like, if we don't win that against the Rams, if we don't win that against Kansas City with my brother at the end of the game, if we don't win it last week, we don't win any of those games, really.
So I agree with you.
I disagree that being more risky with the football is the way to involve these playmakers more. I think that there's ways to do that while still being relatively conservative with the football.
Absolutely.
So anyways, yeah.
And it's pretty straightforward, you know, like run a slant and go.
Yeah,
not
sluggo.
Just a slant. Run a slant and go and have success, and then maybe the slant will be a little more open the next time.
Yeah, and that's what I think A.J. even said, like, that sluggo is kind of what got him started against the Rams in the second half. You know,
he did point that out exactly. Yeah.
Well, and like, whether you're doing the RPOs, like, A.J. is one of the best slant runners that have been in the NFL, and that's something that the Eagles have utilized to great advantage, because he can take a 5-yard slant and turn it into an explosive play because of the talent that he is. And, you know, you got to continually try to find ways to work.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off of that, while still also taking advantage of that stuff.
Let's listen to something AJ said yesterday, because he said a lot, and I'll just say this. I was a little frustrated that he did not, I think, open up more. Because I want to know, like, what I don't think it's just as simple as he's frustrated because they're not, you know, playing great on offense. I really don't believe that. But I also recognize it's probably good for him and the team that he doesn't open up more. So it's a little bit of a catch-22. But with that said, he was asked a good question about playing for the Eagles, and he gave an answer. He answered a lot of questions yesterday. Here's one of them about playing for the Eagles.
Just to clarify, AJ, are you happy here?
Absolutely. This is home. This is my home, you know. Unfortunately, I did it to myself. You know, I won't even say unfortunately, I did it to myself, but this is my home, man. I love it here, you know, but you just see frustration because obviously, you know, we want to be great, and most definitely, I want to be great as well.
So we're going to keep playing this audio, and you can assess, you know, based on what you hear, what your reaction is. Ben, first time talking to you since this all went down a few days ago. Mm-hmm. How, as an Eagles fan, as a common sense guy, how annoying was this for you 3-4 days ago?
I think the timing of it was not ideal, obviously. Social media is something that I'm not a huge fan of, and I think he could have gone about it a different way.
Yeah.
Having said that, I love the fact that he's unhappy with the way the offense is rolling. He made that perfectly clear. I'm also happy that I associate it like with the Nick Castellanos thing. This guy loves to play the game of football. You know, Nick Castellanos loves to play baseball.
Yeah.
He wants to be a big part of their success and their winning, and he doesn't feel he's a part of that right now. I understand his frustration.
Difference, of course, is one guy is probably now a below average baseball player, and one guy is probably still a supreme wide receiver.
Yeah.
I don't think, listen, I can't know for sure, but I would doubt that AJ has like lost it, because there's some people out there saying he's not as good as he was. I don't buy that.
I don't think that that's the case one bit. I mean,
no. He was never a guy who was I'm going to juke you and get far from you before the quarterback throws it anyway. Not like a separating type receiver.
He's a big Jalen, body possession receiver,
sure,
that is also a massive.
He'll body position you. Yes. And then Jalen, if he trusts that, will put that thing up or put it on his body or give him a chance.
But I think he
hasn't given him those chances thus far.
I agree, but I do think it's fair to say he was getting open more in recent years. I don't think he's gotten open as much this year. Yeah. I think that's pretty clear.
And there's a lot that can be done help him get open.
He's a unique, large-bodied receiver that also has the ability to create separation. And I think that I'm sure the Eagles are constantly trying to figure this out. I don't think that AJ is lost, even if I don't think he's lost a step. I don't think he's lost any meaningful amount of athleticism that is causing this decline in his ability. I think that he is still one of the best, if not the best receivers in the NFL. AJ knows it, the team knows it, and they want to find ways to utilize this. And I think, you know, it's a lot harder than just throwing the ball to him, giving up opportunities. You know, it depends on what the defense is in, what the structure is. Is it zone? Is it man? How can we find ways each and every game to put him in spots where we are giving him opportunities? And there's some ways where you can make it for sure. Like, listen, and they tried it last week. They threw him like a bubble screen early, and it didn't work. And a lot of the other ones were like downfield throws where they were supposed to be like 50-50 go balls, but they weren't catchable really. So it's like, they're going to be hard at work this week, I'm sure, trying to figure out the schematic things that they can do to heighten the chances of him succeeding. And Jalen wants to get him the ball. And that's where, you know, this whole thing is frustrating, because, like, the offense used to stall when AJ used to go out, because Jalen used to – that was his comfort blanket, and that's who he went to, and that's who he relied on. And I think that I don't think that that has changed. I just think that the circumstances of how the first 4 weeks have gone have largely not – been conducive to getting AJ the ball, and they're going to be hard at work trying to figure that out.
So we'll continue to play the audio of AJ from yesterday. Also, Rob Thompson, things he said to us from yesterday, that is on the table. We'll talk about that. 8 o'clock, your chance to hear a name. And with that name, you can win the tickets for the Eagles-Broncos game, which is on Sunday. So be tuned at 8 o'clock as we give you – listen, little hint. We've given you two wide receivers' names so far this week. I'm just going to put that out there. We give away the tickets tomorrow at 8, but you got to hear the name today at 8.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
Spread the word to your family and friends. Before every Eagles home game, we give away tickets on the Friday at 8 o'clock. But it's a contest that runs Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 8 to hear the four names and win the tickets. All right, let's go to the phones. Dr. Gina right now. Gina, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Jason, always a joy to talk to you, too. So here's my take on things. You know, it makes for great talk radio to talk about AJ. It really stirs the fires. It foments
conversation about everything. However, I do think, you know, if you're talking about somebody, obviously he understands that he has, I don't want to say emotional issues, mental issues, but AJ, you know, AJ works on himself all the time. And he comes from a generation where they put stuff out on Twitter. They, you know, our generation, we kept things to ourselves like that. We didn't broadcast it across the world. We didn't show everybody what we were eating.
As Tony Soprano said in season two, the strong, silent type. Who was it, Gary Cooper? I think it was Gary Cooper.
It was High Noon, yeah. High Noon's talking
the
about,
strong,
yeah.
silent type. Might have been season one, but anyway, go ahead.
So, you know, putting something out like that, you know, I think that was a lot for himself, too, not just for the rest of the world to hear. I think that was his own affirmation to himself about, you know, just walk away from drama. Don't feed into it. And now what's happened? It's gone out on social media. Now it's all over the radio. It's all over TV. So it winds up being this, like, self-perpetuating machine. You know, is AJ going to be here next year? You know, I say leave a lot of that crap alone. Just, you know, they're scheming for him. Just like with Saquon, you know, they're setting up their defenses to make sure that Saquon can't run and AJ can't catch. It's kind of as simple as
that. But you know what, Gina? They're not, the other team isn't supposed to be able to take away both. They're not supposed to be able to take away both. Now, if the offensive line struggles, then that makes it harder. But you know what I'm saying? Like, normally, when one element of the Eagles has struggled in past years, the other element can pick them up. And so far this year,
we haven't always had a brand new offensive coordinator. You know, it's like who's testing things out, who's trying things. You know, I just feel like we have just made way too much of this, and it's making things worse. I think we ought to just draw back a little bit, concentrate on the fact that the Phillies are going up against the Dodgers on Saturday night. You know, the Lions should be a great game. You know, just don't. All that negativity, man, it's getting to me.
All right, well, he put it out there. Just know he put it out there, not me.
He did. And Joe, don't wear that uniform, whatever you do. Don't wear that. Burn that freaking thing, okay?
All right, Dr. Gina, give me an answer. An actress, two roles. What do you got?
I got Julia Roberts, Pretty Woman, and Erin Brockovich.
That's very big.
Those I think are the correct two.
I think Erin Brockovich is the correct second one. I agree with that. All right, I want to get to some audio of Rob Thompson. Message to the team. They crank it up for a 4th October. Rob Thompson was on our show yesterday and addressed his message to the squad.
My message is always the same. It's, you know, keep an even temperament. It's still a grind. If you get down early, don't panic. If you get up early, step on their throat. But I think the message, it's not really a message, it's a feel. I think that the core guys here are every year when we fall short, there's a lot more there that they want, and they want to finish this thing off. So there's certainly so much motivation in our core guys. I don't think you have to really throw a carrot out there because it's there for them.
Makes sense. And you know, listen, I don't think he's going to go in there and Newt Rockney them before game one. No. I mean, it's just, you know they got to go out there and do a better job than past, you know, failures in October. Ben, let's talk about the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
So I referenced earlier, I am a bit scared. I'm just being honest. Mm-hmm. They looked incredible against the Reds. They had a great September. I think they're one of the two best teams in baseball with the Phillies. I think two best teams. For those that don't know, the Dodgers have moved in front of the Phillies for odds to win the World Series and to win the series, slight favorite. Ben, the L.A. Dodgers, give us your assessment of what the Dodgers are. What are the Phillies and the city of Philadelphia facing for the next couple days?
Right now, that's a formidable ball club. You got Shohei at the top. Mookie Betts is on a different planet right now, and he struggled mightily throughout the course of the season. This guy's swinging the bat really well. Obviously, you know what Shohei can do. I'm just concerned with the Phillies and how they attack the starting rotation. The three games that they played out in L.A., yes, they won 2 out of 3, but in 18 and two-thirds innings that the starters pitched for the Dodgers, Phillies got one. They scored one earned run off of them. One. They did all their damage against the bullpen. So that is something that's very concerning. The Phillies don't win. It's because they don't win because they, like the last couple of years, because they haven't hit. They need to hit. They need to be more consistent offensively. If they hit, they're going to win. I'm not worried about their pitching. per se. I'm not worried about their bullpen. They need to hit. They can't go into these doldrums where they just don't do anything. That can't happen.
Right,
if that happens, they will lose.
Let me ask you the question, because this relates to hitting, pitching. Who was a better game one starter, Christopher Sanchez or Shohei Ohtani?
I would go Sanchez.
James, you agree with that?
I do. Now, Shohei just hasn't pitched as much, but like talent-wise, Shohei's right there. But I would definitely take Christopher Sanchez of the two.
Jason, you going to head down to some of these games?
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
Saturday, Monday?
Me? Yeah, come on. Yeah, I'm looking forward. I can't go Monday, obviously. But yeah, no, Red October is fantastic. There's the bank is a baseball stadium. It feels like you're at a football game, like the ruckusness to it, the energy behind it. And I've had some very fun experiences down at the bank, enjoying some playoff baseball for sure.
Do you get, so as a fan, I get more nervous. I mean, I just do for a playoff game, any of my four teams. As a player, do you get more nervous for postseason play?
I don't, maybe your first one, because it's like a lot of times the nerves as a player were like the first time you ever did something. So I don't know that you get nervous after that first one, but the all of your senses and emotions are heightened. And I think that that's why one of the things I like with what Rob Thompson was saying, where like during the playoffs, you almost want to like counteract that natural enthusiasm and heightened elevated senses with a little bit more like, hey, this is the same thing we've always done.
Yeah.
This is the same game we've always played. Like, don't try and overdo it. And that was what everyone who ever played in the Super Bowl when we won it in 2017 and had won it, like all of the guys that have done it successfully for a long time, that's usually the messaging they send, because they know how easy it is to let those emotions really take hold. And then all of a sudden it turns you into making mistakes that are not characteristic of who you are as a player. So they're going to naturally be there. So I think that messaging by Thompson's the right one.
Yeah, would you say it's more anxious than nervous?
Yeah, it's more anxious for sure. It's not like a nervous, like, I don't know if I can perform. It's more like you're about to go play a huge game and your whole season has led to this, and all of, and you're that kind of feeling is there a little bit for sure.
Where I think that even ratchets it up tenfold is about halfway through. I know for fans it does. Halfway through the game when it's not going so well. I mean, John, remember those Mets games last year? And it felt like it impacted the players. Like, it felt like, you know, fourth, fifth inning, we're in a hole.
Oh, yes.
You know, like, we're in a hole.
No doubt.
The pitcher knew they were in a hole. The hitters knew they were in a hole. And it felt like it got to them.
On their shoulders.
Yes.
The unseen just pressing them down. Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. And I felt like, I don't know, for whatever reason, a guy like Harrison Bader helps insulate against this.
I agree with that.
For sure.
Yeah. Harrison Bader, his, you know, just actions, guys just look to him as he's crab walking out there. I don't know. He doesn't ever consider the possibility that this team might lose, and that is contagious. And that's sometimes you just got to lean into that a little bit more, knowingly lean in into that a little bit more, suspend your disbelief a little bit more, because sometimes you're playing against a really good team in the series. This Dodgers team, they're probably the best team in the world. Yeah, all right. Well, we got them at home, and we've got the vibe here, and we've got a group of fans where that adds to our team. Our fans augment our team.
And, I agree.
It'll get tight, though.
That's the difference.
It'll get tight again.
It does, James.
I agree with you. Harrison Bader can help the players stay loose. But if the Phillies are down 2-0 in the seventh inning, it's going to be tight in that building.
You're
it
right.
just will,
okay,
especially
good.
If they're down 1-0 in the game and then
we're
they're down the second
that.
Game.
No, you're
like,
right
it just
about
is
that.
What it is. Crowds,
it cuts,
when they experience these
ways.
Things, yes, exactly. It cuts both ways. They're going to get tight.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Yeah, but sometimes it only takes one guy doing something crazy to all of a sudden get a crowd back into it.
That's true, too.
I really do feel like if you do one outlandish thing at the bank and you make some play or get in somebody's face, and this is the thing that, you know, you want to go into the game with this even-keeled temperament, but, like, if things start not going well, you want somebody to kind of do something to kind of spark it, right? And if you feel that energy of the building start dampening, a lot of times that energy is also matched with the players.
Yeah.
And having somebody that, like, gets in somebody's face, maybe you take like a hard slide into second base and like, you know, I think that there's things that you can do. Oh,
that would
can,
be cool.
I'm just saying, like, no, these things that get that so energy awesome. Back and like, sure. you know, so.
Well, the Phillies also do a lot in between the innings to try to pump up the crowd. That's when they'll show, I mean, Ben, you know, that's yeah. when they'll show Cole Hamels or yeah. Ryan Howard.
Yeah, or Jason Kelsey.
You chug a beer.
Yeah, but it's got to be the current guys. As much as fun as it is for me to go out there and chug a beer and be in front of a crowd, that crowd's going to feed off the energy of the players.
Yeah.
So that's where it's really got to come from.
It should be a good series.
It should be a great series.
It should be a really good series. These, I mean, you think about how many future Hall of Famers are going to be on the field on Saturday. I mean, crazy. Seriously.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's yeah. crazy how many future Hall of Famers are going to be on that field.
And, Ben, there are 1, 2, 3 batters.
Are all Hall of Famers.
One of Hall of Famers. It's one of the absolute best I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite the trio.
I mean, I thought it was something like when the Blue Jays started with Ricky Henderson, Alomar, Molitor. That was 93.
Yeah.
The Yankees, I'm sure, had something, the combination of Jeter and A-Rod in there, you know, whoever else. But, I mean, these three guys, they go really they go Ohtani, Betts, and then Freeman, right?
Yeah. And the Phillies, yeah. And the Phillies have handled, they've really handled Ohtani.
Well, let me just say this. Yeah. You're right. But this is where, and I want to be really clear, man. This is where Trey Turner has to freaking step up his October baseball. Like, he's been a very good player this year, maybe a great one. I give him major credit for what he's done. But the other team is coming out there with freaking Ohtani and then Betts and then Freeman. Trey Turner's being paid $300-something million. I need him to freaking deliver. I need it. We need it. 215-592-9494, because he's supposed to match those guys. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll questions brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question. Should I wear the full Phillies fantasy camp uniform for all Phillies playoff games? I'm leaning against it. I'm going to be honest. It hasn't worked in the past. It's been fun. It's also been kind of irritating. Jason.
It looks really good,
I'm a
though.
Dork. It's kind of funny.
I'm all in on being a dork. Is there some type of like, is there a reason we're not wearing it? Is it like...
They haven't won the last three.
Yeah, well, then don't wear it. I don't care about you being a dork or not. Just don't wear it.
Well, the flip side is they did have some runs. I mean, the first 2 years, they were...
They overachieved.
It was more than they did previous years.
Yeah, what was different about last year was the first couple of years they overachieved as a ball club. It felt like... Well, then the expectations going into the season. Last year, obviously, was the opposite of that. So, yeah, I mean, is there a way you can do it a little bit different?
I could wear half of it.
I mean, listen, if you don't wear a bottom in here, I'm not coming in.
Me either, Jason.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Rhea, should I wear it or not?
Well, see, here's what I'll tell you. I have a rule in my house, and the whole family knows it, and Clark's new girlfriend got exposed to it.
Clark's got a girlfriend?
Oh, yeah.
And it's a new girlfriend, meaning there was an old girlfriend, now there's a new girlfriend?
Yeah, that kid's got game. I was just saying. That Mad Ginger Riz. Has game.
He's got Mad Riz.
But no, so they're over the house, and I'm in the sunroom. That's where I watch all the Eagles games. And they came in to grab some snacks right as they threw the Bucks hit on the first long touchdown.
Yep.
And they're literally leaning into the cupboard to grab it. And I go, get out.
Yeah.
And she looks at him. Charlotte looks at Clark and goes, she's not serious. And he goes, oh, no, we got to go right
now. So superstition matters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So my rule is, but if you're in the room and something good happens, you're not allowed to leave.
Okay. So is that a way to say, no, I should not wear the uniform?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
It does sound like it. All right, the other poll question we have is, if Ranger's fully healthy, you remember he got dinged there at the very end of the regular season, but if he's fully healthy, who should start game two for the Phillies? Should it be Lizardo or should it be Ranger? Let's listen to Rob Thompson. We asked him that question yesterday. Here's what Topper said. Rob, is it Ranger or Lizardo in game two?
Not sure yet. We've got the inter-squad game today, and Lizardo will pitch today. So he's still available for game two. Ranger got hit in the leg. He's still kind of a little bit sore from that last start, being hit with a line drive. But I think he'll be fine. So we're not really sure who's going to go game two or game three, really, because he could have a piggyback situation with Nola and one of the lefties. You know, we've got a lot of things we're juggling right now, just depending on who we play.
Where this is so enormously significant is the game two starter is your game five starter. Ben, who should it be? I think it should be Ranger or Lizardo.
Yeah, I'd go Sanchi, Ranger, Luzardo.
Sanchi, Ranger. I'm with you.
And, and it's weird because you think, well, three lefties. They're three different lefties.
Yeah.
You got a power sinker changeup start. You got a Thumber and Ranger who's just, you know, he's adding, subtracting. He's a corners guy.
Sorry, Thumber?
Thumber. Yeah, he's thumbing balls up there, like spinning balls. Yeah. He's not a hard thrower.
Got it.
Right? He's more of a location guy, up, yes, down, in, out, change speed, add, subtract. And then you have a power guy in Luzardo, hard fastball, power, breaking ball. So they're all three different lefties. Even though they're all lefty, they're three different lefties.
And you know what they also are? They're three best starting pitchers when Wheeler's out by far.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's definitely those three guys. It's just a matter of how you see.
Can I ask you, how much does student, maybe if it's like close like that, how much does it determine who the other team's starting sometimes? Does that ever go into the equation of who you end up throwing out there on the mound?
Well, obviously, you want to match up number ones. I mean, you get Shohei Ohtani. I mean, but their starting rotation, I mean, they're Yamamoto, Snell, Ohtani.
They're all ones.
They're all, Sheehan. Yeah. I mean, this guy's coming out of the bullpen. He should be a number one. He could be a number one on anyone's team. So, you obviously, you want to limit the damage. And if Sanchez can keep them in the game, they've got a good opportunity.
And again, for those who don't know, if you're just tuning in, the Dodgers, after winning last night, passed the Phillies for odds to win the series and win the World Series. It's an incredible matchup. You know, some respect to the Brewers for sure, who had the best record in baseball, but I believe these are the two best teams in baseball, the Phillies and the Dodgers. It's going to be a great series. Kenny in East Oakland. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning. Hey, how's everybody doing?
Doing good. Well.
Excellent. So, I've been trying to talk to you guys all week, and I finally get to finish my points for Monday. I have a question to everybody, and that's, why do the Eagles keep doing the same thing, expecting different results? Now, I know that you have to bring up, you know, your position coaches and all of that stuff to make them become offensive coordinators, defensive, whatever. But for us, it just does not work, right? Because we tried this with Mike Groh back in the day, and I think he was the pass game coordinator or something like that, and it just didn't pan out. The offense was crazy vanilla and just bad and just plain, and that's where we're at now. And I just think you don't give someone from the pit crew the wheel to the Formula One car to win the championship race. And I think this is a problem. I really do.
Well, Kenny, they're case by case, man. I mean, I think it would be a mistake to say, because it hasn't worked at times in the past, let's not hire from within the next time. I just think you got to make a decision case by case. I mean, it's about who the person is. Obviously, they went out for Fangio, you know, and it worked. But it doesn't mean the other model can't work as well.
I just wish they would have talked to some other people or something, brought some other people in the building.
Well, they might have. I mean, you don't know that they didn't.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like a quick decision. But
the reality is, I think it's really hard to hire proven coordinators that are just on the street.
Well, to the point when you play in the Super Bowl also.
Yes.
Well, Kenny, this is one of the realities. When you play that game in February,
you're behind.
This is why
everyone else has gotten hired.
It's why most teams, a lot of the times, hire from within. And it's like we were fortunate that Vic Fangio was available. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Great coordinators and play callers typically don't lose their jobs and are on the street. So you oftentimes end up hiring from within. And I think it's a unique position because you have to assert yourself as the play caller and now you're the man calling the shots. And before, your relationship with all these people was of a peer relationship. Now, listen, we're still peers, but really, I need to call the plays and be the person that's making these decisions. And that's what, otherwise, my job is the one that's at stake, not this guy.
Yeah, so, for sure.
I think, I don't know. I've heard a lot of people bring up 2023, like, is this 2023? And I don't think it is. And I think 2023, if you look back and look at the stats, the reason that season struggled, really, if we want to be completely honest, is the defense and the turnover differential.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, the 2023 offense, as much as it was bad at the end of the year with blitz pickups, and it wasn't as good as it was early in the year, over the course of the season, was the seventh-ranked offense in the NFL. We ran the ball incredibly efficiently, and we moved the ball consistently. When that season really went off the rails, when the defense turned into the worst defense in football, and we couldn't pick up blitzes, and we started turning the ball over. As long as the defense is in a much different situation this year, we are not turning the ball over, and I really think Nick Sirianni and this offensive staff will put this offense in a much better position with Kevin Vitullo moving forward throughout the season.
So I mostly agree with you, Jason, there, but I'll give you one retort that's been in my head this week. If you take away when man ran backwards to run out the clock and you lose yards on that play, the Eagles in four games have been outgained 298 yards, which, by the way, they are the second team in 90 years to be outgained in all four games and be 4-0. And like 298 yards isn't like, hey, we've been outgained by 55 yards.
That team ended up 5-11 too, for what it's worth. Yeah, it was a Cardinals right. team that started 4-0 and then 5-11.
I mean, 298 yards is an enormous amount of yards in four games.
To be clear, I'm not saying that the offense hasn't struggled.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
no,
that.
No, I know you're not.
And
I
the
know
only
not.
Reason we're winning games is because of turnovers, really, if you want to really get down to it. The defense has played really well. They've kept people out of the red zone and out of the end zone, and we've turned the ball over, or we've gotten turnovers.
I would also say a little, and this is what 23 had, and I think this team has had it. Every team has it to an extent, but like,
yeah, winning,
a little luck. Yeah, well, I mean, your brother drops the ball, CeeDee Lamb drops the ball, CeeDee Lamb drops the ball again, CeeDee Lamb drops the ball again. Stafford had like five or six unusually inaccurate throws. Like, yeah, there have been some things that really cut some favorably.
Some of it looks like luck, and it is luck. But Eric Mangini, I think, the former coach, said this earlier in the week. I think winning is a skill, and I think that these guys have that aspect to them.
I agree.
As a team, as a ball club, and I think Nick Sirianni is the one that kind of leads that. But all I'm saying is, an offense, if you look at Nick Sirianni's tenure as the coach of the team, and I know people have their thoughts on him as a play caller, the offense in Philadelphia over that time period has been one of the best offenses in the NFL, especially running the football. Now, we've struggled passing the last couple years, and they're going to be hard at work fixing that. But I still think, with the way the defense is playing, the fact that we're 4-0 and the offense has struggled this much, personally, I'm very optimistic that this team is going to be really good this year, especially once they get these things ironed out.
Good.
Kenny, Joe, Stafford was missing those throws because the Eagles hit him. They may not have sacked him, but he was down in between plays.
He was affected, so credit to the Eagles for that. Yeah. I agree with you on that, Ray. Kenny, give me an answer. An actress, this is for John Legend tickets, an actress with two great roles. You can mix and match movies, shows, or both.
Can I say something about the Phillies real quick?
Sure.
All right, so I got something to say. To the Phillies, I want you to feel the weight of the situation you're about to walk into, but not carry it. Accept the fact that defeat is not an option to be tarried with. Stay loose, keep the juice, and to not always swing for the roof. Put the ball in play, keep the Dodgers at bay, handily send them back to L.A. And when we win, celebrate the day. If you lose, push the disappointment away. But most of all, the last thing to say is remember why this is the game you play.
Dr. Seuss Kenny. I love it.
That was wonderful.
Did he write that? Did you write that, Kenny?
Yeah, I wrote that.
Well done, brother.
That was outstanding.
It was.
Kenny, way to go.
Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding.
My answer is, I'm going to switch it up. James, I told you something else, but I'm going to say Jamie Lee Curtis, who was my forever crush in Trading Places and True Lies.
Yeah, I mean, I think
so. Halloween's got to be in there.
Yeah, I just don't think she would win
anyway.
It has
to be.
But it's pretty good, but, you know, I think there's better answers. All right, let's get to the Seth Joyner, A.J. Brown thing. So if you don't know, A.J. talked yesterday, and, you know, his main message, if I could just summarize it for you, his main message was he's frustrated with, look, he took responsibility for tweeting out and, you know, indicated he, you know, essentially should not have done that. He also, other main thing I would say is just saying I'm frustrated because the offense, we're not playing well offensively. I think we all know it's more than that, but that's what he put out there. Okay. So now let's listen to something Seth Joyner said yesterday, because unbelievably, AJ took to Twitter after Seth had some comments about AJ. Is AJ responding specifically to what Seth said yesterday? Maybe. Is he responding to what Seth said earlier this week on our show? Maybe. I don't know. But he had a response to Seth. Let's go to something Seth said yesterday on his own show. Here was Seth yesterday.
A.J. Brown needs to stop that. Because at the end of the day, no matter what he says, he's not going to change anything with his words. And there are a lot of wide receivers that are not performing and being productive to the level that they want to. And they've got this diva mentality about them. But because they respect the coach that they play for, they dare not cross these lines that A.J. Brown is crossing. At the end of the day, no matter how much money A.J. Brown is making, he is still an employee of the Philadelphia Eagles. And Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni need to nip this in the bud right now. They need to step to A.J. Brown and tell him to shut his mouth, stop it on social media, and play football.
All right, Seth, never one to mince words. He's not really saying that much different than what most have said this week, but he says it in a strong, passionate way, and obviously he's an all-time great Eagle, and so it gets attention. It got AJ's attention. So AJ then tweeted, and remember, this is a couple hours last night after he'd addressed the media, and it's like, you know, let's not be tweeting like that. And then, like, kind of here we go again. So here's AJ last night, a tweet, at Seth Joyner. The audacity of you telling someone to do their job. My stats every year back that up, that I'm doing mine. How about you do your job and call out the BS, but you won't because they're paying you, so you have to play along and be a good boy. These old heads can be tripped, boy, .. So then that's out there. And then he quickly takes it down, by the way. But somewhere in the meantime, Seth responds. I don't know if this is like after it's down or not, but Seth then puts up there, don't delete what you say. I guess this is after he deleted it. Don't delete what you say. Stand on it, and let's talk about it. The audacity of the truth is what we're dealing with. The team, and Seth has team in all caps, the team is 4-0. John, your reaction?
Well, there was a lot of question as to whether this was, you know, real or not. It does feel like the fact that Seth was replying.
Can we just address that? James, it was his Twitter account. He took it down, right?
I mean, that's what we understand it as. You know, like I didn't see it on his Twitter account. He deleted it.
But
other people have seen it. Other people tweeted out. Yes. John Johnson had a forensic expert on last night who said it's real. Like
we've reached. It seems like it's real. Portion
literally,
of the
yes. A forensic expert called in.
Copy what forensic. You know,
and it's not Dr. Fong from the OJ trial.
No, no.
Can we go back to passing notes in high school? Right. For goodness sakes.
All right, so.
Stunning that it is happening. Stunning that it's real. And it does seem to be real. So I was shocked. I was shocked by all of it. Are you as...
Well, listen. Here's the good thing. It's not about the team. It's not really about the team. It's not really about a player. It's not really about a coach. I mean, I certainly give AJ more leeway on like you want to go after someone who's not on the team or like whatever. I mean, it's not that big a deal. I just would say there's an unwise element after you just stepped in it on social media. I mean, stepped in it. You know, here's the way I'll put it. And I've used this analogy before, and I think it's a pretty good one. Because everybody at one point in their life or someone like me, many other times, has been late. Ben, you've been late to something.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like a doofus. You know, you show up 15 minutes late, 20 minutes late. And I've always said, like, around the office, if you're late to work, what's your job at that point? Do your job. Yeah. Keep your mouth shut. This isn't from 9:15 to 12:30 isn't the time to be cracking jokes.
Right.
We're going to the water cooler. We're taking the smoke break. Mm-hmm. Like, just handle your business.
Right.
You know, until you kind of come out of that a little bit. And you can start jokey joke. You
got an extra level of composure.
Yeah.
And you put your head down and you do your job.
Exactly.
You just stepped in it.
Yeah.
Now just step away and step aside.
Right. Pretty much.
You know. Yeah.
So like, is it as big a deal if he's going after a teammate or a team or the offense? No. But, like, just come on, man. You just stepped in social media. Yeah.
Pump the brakes.
Jason, I mean... It's got to drive Sirianni nuts, my man. I mean, it's got to drive him nuts.
This is the current state of the NFL, right? Like, the reality is social media is out there, and guys are – it's very difficult in today's age to navigate social media as a player, and –
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You get the more you try and not let it bother you as much.
I think Seth is phenomenal. I really do like Seth Joyner. I think he's always been great. As a player, sometimes it was difficult to hear takes because he's going to be very candid and honest. And I don't think he ever says something that, quite frankly, is out of left field or completely ridiculous. I just don't. I think most of the time it's rooted in a lot of factual knowledge of the game and how things work. I also know A.J. Brown. I know A.J. Brown is a tremendous player, a guy that I respect a lot, and a guy who is largely not like a selfish player. Like, even with this tweet, which I wish he would have done it in a different way. I'm sure he does, right?
Yeah.
There's ways to get this point across to coaches and teammates and things without doing that. But, you know, I've played with guys that were selfish players, and I've seen guys that, want personal success more than the team, and that's a frustrating player to play with. I don't think that that's A.J. Brown. I think a lot of the reason A.J. Brown is frustrated right now actually is that the offense is struggling. I think if the offense was balling out and the passing game was working really well, and he was like he might be upset, like, man, I wish I was getting more catches,
yep.
But he would be genuinely happy that the team was successful. So I think that A.J. is largely, a lot of the times when this thing comes out, I used to get upset when things would come out in the media, and I still like think that there's better ways, like with unnamed sources or whatever. But largely, these things that come out need to be addressed and communicated. And A.J. doing this is forcing this communication to happen. And if the team has any hope of succeeding this year, they're going to have to address why the offense isn't functioning, why A.J. isn't, why one of our best offensive weapons isn't being utilized.
Right.
So ultimately, just like last year when a lot of these things happened, hopefully this leads to a much better attack moving forward.
I agree.
So,
totally agree. Yeah. So it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast from the Tasty Cake studio. Of course, you can react to everything we're discussing today. Great, great excitement and anticipation for the Phillies-Dodgers series. Looking ahead to the Eagles and Broncos. Also, that'll be on Sunday. You can win tickets on our show. You got to know the names that we say this week part of the contest. Let's give you another name.
And the name is...
All right, let's just continue the theme. Seltzer, what do you think the name is today?
Wide receiver of some kind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone who has caused problems in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Aguilar.
Listen, bigger problems than that.
Way to go.
Deshaun Jackson is the
name. That's a much better answer, my bad.
So, I thought we'd go somewhere else with that, too. I didn't know that was...
I know, right? So Deshaun makes sense.
Yeah.
So we gave you two names earlier this week. One on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. We give you the name Deshaun today. Know those three names and the fourth name that we'll tell you tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And if you have the four names and are the correct caller, the first caller, when we give you the cue to call tomorrow at 8 o'clock, you can win the tickets to the Eagles and the Broncos.
Courtesy of NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy.
I like this thematic thing we got going, I just want to say. I don't know, though, who to go for number four. And I think those three are kind of in a class of their own. But anyway, all right, let's get to someone who's been in a class of his own, I guess other than Zach Wheeler, in baseball in Philadelphia this decade, and that would be Bryce Harper. So, you know, as we gear up for the Phillies and the Dodgers, and however long the playoff lasts, you know, whether it's a series or three, one thing we all hope is that Bryce can turn it up again. He has been a masterclass in elevating outstanding or truly great play to an even higher heights in his three postseasons he's been with the Phillies. I don't know where the stats currently stand, but I know as of a year or so ago, he was top five in the history of baseball for OPS in the playoffs. Like top five of all time. So this is a guy, I mean, Ben, you know, you've seen it.
Pretty good.
He does not, you know, and a lot of times it's been like the guy behind him, like the Bohm doesn't hit or the Cassie doesn't hit or the JT, like they pitch around him. But anyway, he walks a lot, he gets a lot of hits, and he's really done a great job delivering. Obviously gave us the best Phillies moment this century, this decade with the bedlam at the bank. All right. With all that said, we talked to Rob Thompson yesterday about Bryce and the motivation within Bryce Harper. Let's listen to something Topper said. 3 years in a row, he has excelled in October baseball. And what you sense could be on the horizon for him the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think he's as motivated as any athlete on the planet to win a championship. I know that, you know, when he left Washington to come here, Washington wins the World Series right away, and there's, you know, a lot of noise from other places that, you know, they could win without Harper. I think that type of thing motivates him, and I think he wants to win so badly here in Philadelphia. It's just I don't really know the word put to it, but I can tell you that he is really, really motivated.
I loved hearing that. I mean, you know, I'll say this, it ratcheted up for me the anticipation for, you know, Saturday and Monday, and, you know, I mean,
we've seen him just grappling with dealing with this year differently. You know, he's been facing this challenge all year long. Remember going all the way back. I keep referring to it. Hey, guys, we're going to, you know, no more daycare. You know, we're going to be more, I don't know, focused this year. You're going to keep our eyes on the prize. That's going all the way back.
Yeah, I will say this.
Business.
Well, it has. I will say this. It's a bit of a concern to put out there. I do not think he is as good as he used to be. Now, I'm not saying he's fallen off a cliff. He hasn't. He's still an outstanding baseball player. But the MVP level that he was playing at certain junctures of his Phillies tenure, not to mention Nationals tenure, I don't feel like we've seen that this year. Can he crank it up for a month? Might be able to. But I do worry that his best baseball is behind him. But I do believe he can elevate his game. And I do think he's supremely motivated. And I do know there's a guy like Peyton Manning who was deep in his career before he won that first ring. And he, too, dealt with something similar to Bryce. Peyton Manning's Tennessee Vols won a championship the first year after he was out.
T. Martin.
Mm-hmm. T. Martin.
That's true.
And that hung around Peyton Manning for a decade. Because not only did his college win after he left, there's knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door at the Colts and not able to break through. And that was a narrative.
Oh, yeah.
And then he broke through. And then he broke through again. And I'll just say this. I have tremendous belief in Bryce Harper. Tremendous belief. And that's why, like I said earlier, I come back more to Trey. Like, Trey, we need you, man. Like, I really believe more in Schwarber and Harper than Trey. And I hope that Trey can join those two in the previous excellence that those two have put together in October, that Trey, other than like the first week of 2023 October, James, fair to say, mostly has not.
Yeah, it was the Braves series and then the first two games of the Diamondbacks, the 10-0 game. Right. Trey was awesome and then fell off a cliff and hasn't gotten back.
And was horrendous against the Mets. Horrendous. All right, let's go to Mondo. Mondo, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What's up, Mondo?
How are we doing today? How are
we're good.
Doing?
We're very excited, man. There's a lot going on here.
A lot going on. I was at Citizens Bank Park last night for the interleague game.
And what'd you think?
Very high. Very high. You know, lighthearted evening. I did enjoy the, I think it was Bueller, threw over to first and everybody booed. It was great.
I love that.
So, you know, I wanted to touch on a couple things. The guys are going to need to do what they need to do. We're going to have to get through the middle relievers. Those guys are going to have to actually perform. Pickering's going to have to throw. He's going to have to play.
Man, he scares
me. Pickering needs to be so much better, so much more consistent, and I can't depend on him right now. I have no idea what we're going to get.
I totally agree, John.
It's true, but I think, you know, I saw a thing they released. Bryce Harper wasn't in the top 10 for rankings for the postseason. I think that's going to light a fire under him.
Sure could. Kind of goes, though, Mondo, to what I was saying about 3 minutes ago. He has not been as good. He's been very good, but he hasn't been as good. And that's notable. I mean, I didn't know that you know, there's a ranking that doesn't have him as amongst the top 10. Ben, I'll say this. Based on his track record, I'd put him in there because he always elevates.
I would agree with that. Yeah. And this, listen, I think, you know, obviously he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think his legacy's on the line here, whether or not he wins a world championship.
I totally agree with you.
I say part of his legacy.
No, but it goes to another level.
I know.
Like, it just is what it is. You got to have a ring.
Well, you know.
It just is what it is. No, unless you're Barry Bonds, you have to have a ring.
Bonds and Ted Williams didn't. I mean,
Ernie Banks didn't. You know, it's like,
it's one of the hardest sports to do it on your own. I mean, basketball is the easiest sport.
Right.
You're one of, you know what I mean, Jason? You're one of five guys. You control the action the most. Right. You know, a great goaltender controls the action more than a hitter who bats four times a game. Yeah. It's a hard sport. I'm just saying, I partially hear you, is my point.
But,
Ben.
I mean, he's done everything in his power to win one. I mean, think about this. The stuff that he's done is
legendary.
It's legendary. It's storybook stuff that he's done in the playoffs.
Yeah, it wouldn't be his fault, but it just is what it is. That's the way legacies get decided,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right, Mondo, I need an answer from you. This is for the John Legend tickets. Two roles from an actress, movies or TV. You can mix and match. What do you got?
You know, the Godfather suggestion was top shelf, but I'm going to also go with Jodie Foster, if that hasn't been said.
Hasn't.
For Silence of the Lambs and then The True Detective for the show.
Well, I think True Detective is the wrong answer.
I agree. It's absolutely the wrong answer.
I think you had a real shot.
You did.
Yeah. Now, someone else can steal it. You can steal.
So I won't say what I would say as the second one.
You can steal Jodie Foster. You go Silence of the Lambs and something else, and you can win the prize. All right.
No, there were three fillies on that list, the top 25. Who do you
think
was
25.
Yeah.
So they're including pitchers?
Yes.
So Sanchez definitely on there.
Well, Schwarber, Sanchez, and it's got to be Harper.
Probably Bryce.
No.
They don't have Bryce on the top 25?
I don't. I just went through it. I see.
Wheeler's not playing.
It's postseason. It's Sanchez at 3. Kyle is at 13. Kyle Schwarber.
Yep.
And at 23 is Ranger Suarez.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't say that. I
think that's some Bryce
again.
Harper disrespect.
Big time. Does someone send this to Bryce Harper, please? Can we get this to the Phillies clubhouse?
Fernando Tatis. Yeah, I do not see him on this list.
Please, Phillies clubhouse, if you're listening, anyone, get this to Bryce Harper immediately.
Is that ESPN, Rhea?
It is CBS Sports.
Yeah, that's some downright disrespect.
Wow.
You know, all right.
I've gone through it like four times because I keep going, I must be missing it.
Yeah, that's wild. All right, coming up, A.J. Brown, things that he said yesterday. We'll play some of that audio. More with Jason in studio with us. More with Rob Thompson for what he said yesterday, notably on the rotation for starter, the lineup, and more. We're going to get to all of that audio and your phone calls on everything we're discussing. Plus, I'm going to tell you, let me tell you right now, call to action for Time's Yours today at 9:45. Give me your reaction to this fact. The Phillies are going to play the Dodgers in the second round. Time's Yours is there for you, 215-238-4500. We're all pumped up. Are you kind of scared? Are you not? Phillies-Dodgers. The best Time's Yours Phillies-Dodgers calls will make it at 9:45 today, 215-238-4500. I'll admit, I am a little scared. I'm extremely excited, but it is a daunting matchup. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, Ben Seltzeria, and Jason Kelsey in studio, 94 WIP.
I've had Window Nation at my homes to fix many of my windows. What I'm most happy about is that I was able to get that done before the cold weather arrived.
Replacing old drafty windows helps keep the heat in your home. Window Nation can put a stop to wasting money on your heating bills. Speaking of bills, financially, there's never been a smarter time to replace your windows. Right now, when you buy two windows, you get two more free. There's no limit, and one-day installation is included.
Okay, buy two, get two free already makes it a great investment, but how do you pay for it with the holidays coming up? That's what stops most people, right, John?
Not with Window Nation. You can get your beautiful new windows installed now and make no payments for 2 years. No money down, no monthly payments, and zero interest until 2027. Stop wasting money on heating bills. This offer ends October 31st. Call 866-90-NATION or book your free estimate at windownation.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.